You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
Good morning. Let me try it again. That's good. Well, check out the birthdays and the anniversaries there, and make sure you wish those folks happy birthday and happy anniversary. And we've got a lot going on this week. We are having our live nativity, as you know, on Saturday on Main Street at 4:30. We have a camel coming, a real camel, and it's going to be fun. We have lots of music, and of course, telling the most important story of all time. The Christmas story of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So 4:30 on Saturday, it'll be on Main Street, and then we'll be having soup in the community center afterwards. And I'm not sure if we still need more help with that or not. If you do, please, or if anyone would like to help out, just let me know, or let Shannon know, or any of us, and we will find a place for you to help out. So remember that, 4:30 this Saturday. There will be no Sunday school on those dates. You see there, December 16th, the 23rd, and 30th. And we are having a Christmas Eve service that will be held here at the church at 4 o'clock. And also, there is a sign-up sheet for prayer and scripture readings and for ushers, and that's in the foyer. If you would like to volunteer for that, please sign up today if you would. Also, worship committee is looking for nursery volunteers, so if you could help out with nursery, that would be great. Please let us know as well. And also, we are doing something. Our box in the back, the one that we use for the Dollar Club, we are asking and feeling led to, if you would like to give to John and Joanna Cole for a Christmas, just a Christmas gift, you can put money in there. We'll get it to them. Also, you'll notice on that back table, right in the back, I printed off their address. So it would be wonderful to just shower them with cards, like just encouraging them. As at this time, the addresses for their motel, we're praying that that they could at least be at the motel over Christmas, and that's where they could celebrate our Lord and Savior's birth. So if you'd like to give, just put it in the box back there. We'll get it to them, and then pick up a little card on the side with an envelope. Or with the address, and then if you'd send them a Christmas card, that'd be great. And if you want to send a gift in the card, that's fine, instead of leave it here too. Whatever you feel led to do. Okay. Also, I did text with John this morning, and I asked what specific to pray for. He said continue to pray for kidneys. There's still no improvement. Also, to keep praying that the medicine will work. But he said even more than that right now, Joanna is itching like everywhere. And very miserable, so we need to pray that would stop, that she could rest and be free from the itching. So that's our prayer request for John and Joanna this week. Okay, any other announcements this morning? Christy. Okay. Okay. So this Wednesday, you are caroling, so dress accordingly for the youth group. And also then the following Wednesday, make sure that you have signed up and come out for that's a Christmas party then for the youth, and it is catered by Rochelle Donaldson. So make sure that you don't just show up. Make sure you've signed up for that. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, Shannon. Okay.
After Good News, we're going to walk the kids up in front of the restaurant there and try to run through it.
Wonderful.
They
Okay. Okay, so Wednesday, what time?
It'll be after Good News and Confirmation.
So like at 4:30?
Yeah.
So 4:30, we're going to do a run-through with the kids uptown for the Light Nativity, and we would love if parents could be here to help out with that. And then also on Saturday, what time would you like people to show up?
We'll be meeting at about noon to get sound set up, the streets blocked off. The
yeah, Saturday will be busy, so.
We're still meeting small straw bales.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so bring goodie trays Saturday, and if you can help out, you can show up at noon, and we'll put you to work.
Making soup,
hauling bales, yep, combing the camel, just all of that. I'm not sure, do you have to brush a camel's teeth, Shannon?
Right?
Oh, yeah. So we need help, so please come out. This is a community event, and I'm excited about what God is doing. There's a lot of people coming to this. And it's going to be, hopefully, Lisa is getting so good at Facebook live streaming. We did the nursing home service the other night, and there's over 500 views already from the nursing home service from all over the country. And we're going to do the same thing for this. So another wonderful tool of outreach that we can continue. And thank God for people that have technology skills, because I could not do that. Okay, anything else? Yes?
Are we having adult choir practice?
Yeah.
We decided Wednesday, didn't we, during praise team practice?
Oh, I think we almost need to. Yeah, we're going to do adult choir practice this Wednesday. Is that okay? Five o'clock.
We haven't decided that yet.
Yeah, we really hadn't. Thank you for letting us know. Thank you. So if you'd like to help out with the adult choir, 5 o'clock on Wednesday, come and sing and join us. And we're part of the live nativity, so hope.
So there is no practice tomorrow night?
No. Right, there won't be anything tomorrow night. It'll be just Wednesday night. Thank you for clarifying that. It's a busy week, so we kind of had to streamline some of our practices. Okay, anything else this morning? Okay, awesome. Julie, would you come up and do prayer and scripture?
I guess I'd like to change all of his announcements from willing to able. I think that we have a lot of able people, and so instead of just being willing, if you are able to do it, if you could help out in any way, if you're able to sing, if you're able to help with the setting up or taking down or cutting up stuff for soup, and get involved, because it makes a better community. So not just willing, but able. Okay, prayer requests. Pardon prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you today. We thank you that we have the freedom to be here to worship. Lord God, I just pray that you would turn our hearts and our minds towards worship. Just take everything else out of our minds and our heads. We pray that you would just help us to be attentive to what you have to say this morning through music, through songs, through what Galen has to say, through your scripture. We pray, God, for Joanna and John. God, we know that Christmas can be such a great time, but it can also be such a hard time if we're away from family or if we're in hospitals in unusual places. Lord Jesus, we just pray that you would help Joanna's itch to be gone. We just pray that this would just subside and that she would be able to heal. We pray for her kidneys, and we just pray for the treatments that are coming up. Lord, we just pray that everything would be able to be as is. We pray also for John Berg and Char Lang and for any that I'm forgetting, Lord, that are suffering with cancer, that you would just really give the doctors and nurses wisdom, that you would also just bring people into their day, God, that can help to cheer them up and encourage them. We pray for those who are traveling, for Reese and for Jesse, and for Dick and Sue's family. We just pray, God, that you would bless them with safety as they come home or as they go to services. We pray, God, that you would just bless Reese's time packing up and just guide him. We are thankful that he's going to be closer to home, and we just pray that you would just continue to work in his life and and all of our youth, Lord God. We pray for little McKenna that your spirit would just dwell in her, that you would lead her and guide her and just grow her up to love and serve you. We pray for the Melrose Sugden family and also for John Carpenter family, Lord God, that you would just be with them and comfort them, help them, Lord Jesus. We just pray that you would help them to have just an increasing amount of good memories as they're grieving and to also just enjoy their time as family and just help them through this. We pray, God, that you would also be with Dick and his sister and his children and all those who are going to be traveling, and also at this time where there has to be decisions made and things taken care of, that you would just bless them. We pray for those who are either alone or going to be alone during the holidays because of different situations and circumstances, and we just pray, God, that you would just minister to them, that you would help them to just be able to find people to be around, or that you would just send into people's hearts a time where they would know, I need to talk to that person, I need to call that person, and to just encourage them and to just spend some time with them, whether it's on the phone or with them, Lord God. Pray for Gabe traveling also, and that you just give him safety, help him to be alert and awake on the road. We pray for Ty Smaltz. We thank you, God, that he is healing and that you have, that they discovered this Kawasaki disease quick enough. We pray, God, that you would continue to protect his heart and that you would prepare him for the surgery ahead to take care of that hole. And we thank you, God, that the doctors look at it as not a big deal, that it can be taken care of and that it was discovered. And we just pray that you would continue to be with this family and all of them, and just also draw them closer to you at this time and forever. Pray for Peggy's health and whatever is going on with her, God. We just pray that you would just heal her up and help her to feel better. We just pray that you would continue to guide her as she has such a ministry in this church with our children. We pray that you would bless her for that. We also pray for the sickness that's going around in the schools and in our community with flus and temperatures and different things, Lord God. We just pray that you would help people to stay home and get well. We pray also that you just protect them from getting any more of this. We thank you for this day, Lord God, and we just pray your blessings upon the service. Amen. Okay, and I need to read the scripture, which is Micah 6, 6 through 8. Oh, that's Malachi. There we go. Okay. Micah 6, 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Micah 6, 6 through 8.
Thank you, Julie. We could have the ushers come forward, and we have some guys from Papa Ridge and girl. We have a special song that we'd like to do. We're missing some of them, but we're going to sing a song for you. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for opportunities to gather and to just come together and worship you. We pray, Father, that we'd never take that for granted, God, that we would be encouraged, Lord Jesus, as we come together. Bless this offering, we pray, Lord, and we ask that you would guide us as we give, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Hi, Tice. Words are on the screen if you'd like to follow along.
Help us out.
Help us out.
Yep.
Continue by singing some praise songs, so please come on up for the rest of the praise team and help us out.
It's really hot. Turn it down. It's in the monitor. It's the monitor.
Here we go. There. It came upon a midnight clear. Keep A flat. town of Bethlehem.
Stop and not let all the busyness take over, that we can reflect on the true meaning of Christmas, Lord, and help us to show love to one another and to those around us. We just love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Really? They aren't working? No pastor slides? They were on there. Maybe you'll figure it out by the time I get there, even though I need them right away. No pressure, Sean. Let's pray first for the slides. Father, we just thank you for today, God, and we praise you. Lord, you are our Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider. God, you are Emmanuel. You are God with us. Lord, even at this time, God, in this season, it's easy to forget that with all the busyness, as Lisa said. Calm us, Lord, settle us down, help us to look to you, dear Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Help us to look to you and help us to find strength in you, Lord. We think of those who are struggling, God, with health, God, even with maybe even some tough memories. Lord, we pray for healing, and we ask for your blessing. Please guide us today now, and as we look into your word, as we look at this amazing little book, Lord, of Micah, that you would speak to us today. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my slide, if it was there, says, what does God require of you this Christmas? Micah 6, 6 through 8. Corrie ten Boom, most of you know her. She was actually alive during a lot of our lives. Born in 1892, died in 1983. She was an incredible Christian Dutch woman. She was a watchmaker with her father. And she helped many people, Jewish people, escape the Nazi Holocaust. It is said to be somewhere between 800 and 1,000 lives that were saved because of this amazing woman of faith. And she has this statement that she has many good ones, but this one just has always grabbed my heart. She said, faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. Now, I can guarantee you, for Corrie, there were times when guards were coming, she thought, this is going to be it. God, if you don't protect us, if you don't find a way to hide these people, this is going to be all over. And yet Corrie's faith was strong. Another gentleman that I have always respected, I have a little book on my desk, and it's simply called Faith by George Mueller. And George lived 1805 to 1898, had an amazing life, had an amazing outreach to orphanages and orphans, and he said this about faith. He said, the only way to learn strong faith is to endure great trials. And I think of that in my life, and that is probably the times when my faith grew the most, is when I was enduring great trials. It is said in his lifetime that he raised over $7 million to help orphans. Can you imagine $7 million in the 1800s? I don't even know what that would be comparable to today. Well, last week we started a four-week Christmas series, I call it. And last Sunday, as you know, we talked a little bit about fear. We talked of how the angel Gabriel was sent to earth, not once, not twice, but three times, with the message of do not fear, do not be afraid. He said it to John the Baptist's father, Zacharias. He said it to Mary when he announced that she would be with child, and not just any child, but she would be giving birth to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son. And then he said it to the shepherds when he announced to them that a Savior had been born in Bethlehem. He said, do not be afraid. And it says in that passage, it says, the glory of the Lord. Can you imagine that image of seeing shepherds out in the field and the glory of the Lord shone all around them? It wasn't just the angels. Then the glory of the Lord shone everywhere around them. My vision, of course, is think some type of great big spotlight. Like 10 billion gazillion candles. That's not even a word, is it, Christy? That's okay. I just made it up. Just shining all around these shepherds. It wouldn't have been startling enough to see an angel appear, but then this light shines all around them. And the glory of the Lord, which is probably anything more than we can even imagine. And Gabriel said, do not be afraid. Luke 2, 10 through 14. Which is on that great slide in front of you. Just kidding. The shepherds and the angels, here we go. And the angel said to them, to the shepherds, he said, do not be afraid, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. So it's not only the angel Gabriel, it's not only the glory of the Lord shining around him. All of a sudden, there's a heavenly host of angels everywhere singing. What a beautiful announcement of our Savior coming. Well, last Sunday, we mentioned three truths or three principles that I talked about in Scripture. The first one, God still answers prayers. He still does. The next one is God always keeps His word. He always keeps His word. And the third one, God's plan is still the same. Hasn't changed. It's been the same from the very beginning. It'll be the same till the very end. So when you think about our world today and you compare it to the world in Jesus' times, times really haven't changed that much. And we're going to see that today. A lot of times we look at Scripture and we think these are just fictitious people. These are just characters, but these are people just like you and me. We live in a world still riddled with fear, and we live in a world that is really uncertain about what is true. And just as they had to live by faith in Jesus Christ, as Christians today, we have to live by faith in Jesus Christ. Still the same. So what does God require of you this Christmas? I often think of that at Christmas time, and I have for years. I thought, we're buying all these gifts, we're going shopping, we're doing stuff. I think, what can I give Jesus for Christmas? After all, it's His birthday, right? That's what we celebrate. So what does God require of us this Christmas? And when I think of being, when God requires something of us, and maybe you think right now, you think, well, God has everything. So why does He require anything from us? He has everything He needs, and yet He says, I want something from you. What if that something is just faith? What is all He wants from us is just for us to believe in Him? What if all that He wants for us is that we would just believe in Him and walk in faith in this life in a certain way, according to His will? And you might think that, well, then He expects something from me, but what He expects from us is to understand His amazing love. If you had the very best to give to your children, but you didn't want to share it, what kind of a father or mother would you be? God the Father has something so special for you and me. Nothing that this even world can even imagine. And he has that for us. And He says, but you need to walk in it. If I'm going to give you this gift, you're not going to realize the full value of it unless you walk in faith. It's part of the gift. So I'd like us to get personal for a minute, I'm going to say, is there anything specifically in your life that the Lord would want from you this year? When you think about your own life, what would He want from you? Think about it right now. What about your life pleases God? What about your life? What is it in your life that does not please God? What can you get rid of? And what can you grab onto? Last week we talked about the 400 silent years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. God didn't seem to be speaking anything. People never wrote anything. Can you imagine living by faith during that time? What if you had been born right at the beginning of the 400 silent years and you died during the 400 silent years? You were still called to walk by faith. Think of those folks. We are given so much because we have the Holy Spirit in us, and we can commune with the Father and with Jesus every single day. There were 400 silent years that people really questioned, is there even a God? I know that some of us have gone through that when we go through health issues or struggles in our life, and we think, God, are you even there for us? Can you imagine living during that time of 400 years? How hard would it have been to stand firm in the faith? And then you look at the prophecy of Isaiah and of the Savior of the world that would be born 700 years later, and people were waiting for the Savior to come. How would it be for you to be faithfully waiting that long for the most important prophecy of all time to be fulfilled? I don't know about you, but if I get in, if I'm in a drive-through line at a restaurant and 10 minutes goes by, I think my life is about over. I thought, whatever happened to fast food? Throughout Scripture, we're told to wait on the Lord, for He is faithful. He says, stand firm. Do not let anything move you. So how do we follow Him? How do we walk in faith as He wants us to? And I pray that would be your desire. That's a gift that you can give to God this year. God, I'm going to walk by faith. I want to know what that means, and I'm going to walk by faith this year. How do we follow Him? As I thought about that, I thought of these three little verses in Micah. Micah intrigues me. When I studied Micah in seminary, I got so intrigued with some of the minor prophets that I was just blown away at how powerful they are. They're called minor prophets. The books are small, so they're called minor, but let me tell you, the message I have is not minor. It's powerful. It's crazy. Three verses. I just want to give you a little background about Micah before we get into his message. Micah lived, as we know, about 700 years before the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Micah was just a country boy. He was just a country boy from a little town called Moresheth, which was just a few miles outside of Jerusalem. Can you get the image of this little country boy named Micah? He lived about the same time as Hosea and Isaiah did, and I often wondered, were these buds? Did they hang out together? I have no idea. All I know is that they were living at the same time. You wonder, did they know each other? And to me, it's very possible because their messages are so similar, but maybe that's just the power of the Holy Spirit, just speaking to them the same message. Just to give you an idea of what Micah was like, and this is why he intrigues me so much. By his writings, I think Micah's just a plain guy. I think he's just a regular guy, just like all of us. Plain spoken. But one thing about Micah that I really appreciated him, he was blunt. He was a truth teller. He didn't beat around the bush. He said it like it was. He was just a common man, and it was pretty obvious how he wrote that he didn't like corruption. He was not someone that would just sit by and see authority, people in authority corrupt the truth. He basically had no time for those kind of people. In fact, his little book, this book of Micah, is basically a condemnation of religious and political leaders who use their position to take advantage of other people. Micah, to me, was like the kid on the playground who didn't tolerate bullies. If there was a bully on the playground, I could see Micah running over and getting in between and saying, don't you dare do that. This is my friend, you don't touch him. I don't know about for you, but I want to be a Micah man. And before I give you these three verses in Micah, we will look at that we're going to look at, I want to tell you three things or phrases that describe the situation in Micah's life, in Micah's day, and I think that you'll see that he could just as well be describing our world today. And more to make it personal, our communities. Right here. The ones we live in. So first of all, there was political tension between Israel and three leaders. Or three nations, I should say, Assyria, in Egypt, and the Philistines. The greatest threat came from Syria, of course. They were powerful. And they had basically offered peace to Israel for a voluntary national slavery. Did you hear that? In other words, you serve us and we don't kill you. What a wonderful country Assyria was. You serve us and we'll leave you alone. We'll just tell you everything that you're going to do, and you better do it, but you get to live. Secondly, there was religious corruption, and that really hit a nerve with Micah. And let me tell you, that's what makes my blood boil. Micah spoke directly and boldly against priests who took bribes and then said whatever the people wanted to hear. In other words, these priests said whatever tickled the other people's ears, as long as they had a little bit of cash to go with it or other things that they could offer. Doesn't that sound like so many times of what is going on in our world today? And third, there was moral chaos during Micah's time. The rich were ripping off the poor. Leaders were taking bribes. It was more common to be taking advantage of than not. It was kind of like the norm of the day. You just figure when you wanted to go get something, you just realize, okay, how much am I going to have to pay that guy to get what I need for my family? Community leaders, businessmen, even priests and the religious leaders could not be trusted with the truth. And even in Micah's day, he speaks again. And he says, I'm not even so sure you can trust your own family members. That's how corrupt we have gotten as a world. My question is what does that not sound like what's going on in our countries today? I can only speak for this one because this is the one I live in. And I grieve at the moral corruption that is taking place. The fight against absolute truth. The struggle with God's word, which is the same yesterday, just like God, as it is today. It's almost as if Micah was writing to us. Micah was writing to a world much like ours. So basically, Micah's letter could be easily written, addressed, and just make it personal to us. So what do you think God requires of you this Christmas? What gift could you possibly bring to God who needs nothing? What does God want from you today in light of this broken, down, messed up world that we live in? And I'm sorry, but that includes Christian churches. So in light of Micah, let's call it what it is. Well, there are three verses today that we will hear from Micah. Julie read them earlier. But to be clear, so there's no confusion, Micah starts off by saying what God does not want. So the first verses I'm going to read to you tells us what God does not want, but Micah, in being a little bit bold, he's also throws in a little bit of sarcasm. Starting in verse 6, it's verse 6 and 7 of Micah chapter 6. With what shall I come before the Lord then and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and calves a year old? Then he takes it up a notch. Will the Lord be pleased with a thousand of rams? With thousands of rams. Then he takes it up another notch and he said, okay, how about if I give him 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn? Should I kill my firstborn for my sins? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. Should I do that for you, Lord? Let me just say, you cannot add to the perfect sacrifice. There's nothing we can do better than grace that has been given to us. So if God doesn't want your sacrifices, if he doesn't need your good deeds, what does he want from you? My saying is he wants your heart. He wants you. God rejected every offer of the Israelites in Micah's day. Because the Israelites wanted to make a deal. They kind of wanted to play, let's make a deal with God. And God said, I don't want that stuff. I want you. I want your heart. And that brings us to verse 8, one of my favorite verses. Micah 6:8, he says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. God has already shown you what's good. And what does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Now, if you haven't memorized that scripture, I pray that you do. Micah 6:8. The right answer is Micah 6:8. He doesn't need thousands of rams. He doesn't need rivers of oil. He doesn't need your firstborn. He needs you. He wants your heart. The Hebrew word for justice, as I broke that up, I thought, okay, he wants justice. What is justice? And to me, it refers to God's character. The Hebrew word is mishpat, which says God is just and he is completely fair in all things. He is just. He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. To sum it up, acting justly means, so treat people right according to God because you know God. You cannot do that unless you know God. It begins with the heart. What should be evidence of that? Caring for the poor, reaching out to the orphans, feeding the hungry, taking care of others, and treating people justly and fairly as God would. Secondly, what does it mean to love mercy? The Hebrew word for that is hesed, and it means patient, loyal love. I love that. In other words, it means God's mercy endures forever. It does. It endures forever. And to me, it also involves loving God like God, loving unconditionally, eternally, and loving those who maybe don't even like you. And that's tough. I get that. And yet your love and your mercy should never end in all your relationships, whether it be with God or with your spouse or with those you work with your kids. You love unconditionally, and that love should never end. And finally, what does it mean to walk humbly with God? Well, the original text, again, for that in Hebrew, means to walk modestly and carefully with your God. It speaks of an attitude that has not a speck of pride in it. It talks of having a right view of yourself because you have a right view of God. To walk humbly does not mean to belittle yourself, however. It does not mean to say that you're worthless, that you have no value. Let me just say, God doesn't appreciate the Eeyore complex. I've practiced this. I'm no good. God couldn't possibly want me. Does that not sound like Eeyore? I need to try harder. I'll work on that. You are made in the image of God. You are made in the image of God himself. Humility to me is saying that God made me and I belong to him. It's that plain and simple. There's nothing I can add to him, nor would I need to. Is there anything you would want to add to something that's perfect? You can't make perfect more perfect. When I think of to act justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with our God, I think, or I should say, what are those things, three things have in common? For me, they are an attitude of the heart, which is all God is interested in. He wants your heart. This kind of living is evident of someone who's been given a new heart, acting justly, loving mercy, walking humbly with God. That's a heart condition. And you don't get that unless God gives it to you. I heard a story from a pastor who said, my wife and I and about 20 men and women and kids went caroling. And we came to the house of a 90-year-old woman who had been a member of our church for years. But for a couple of years, she hadn't been able to attend because of her failing health. And this pastor goes on to say, we sang to her. We sang one carol after another, and after we were done, we walked up to the front door to greet her and to wish her a Merry Christmas. And what happened next, he said, we didn't expect, because she was bent over. She could barely even look up. And she began to preach to us. And she said, I've been a Christian most of my life, and I want you to know that Jesus is wonderful. God has been so good to me, and I don't know why I am laid up like this. I don't know why he's not allowing me to attend church, but I don't question God anymore. Because I know that he knows what's best for me. And even though the lady was bent over with her bad back and her weak voice, she turned to the children, said, now kids, I want you to listen to me. God loves you. God loves you little ones too, and will help you if you would just turn to him. And then four times she said, and she got louder each time, and she said, and don't let the devil get you down. Don't you let the devil get you down. Four times, and louder she got. And then she said, Merry Christmas and thank you for coming. That pastor said, we came to bless her. Well, we had no idea that we would be more blessed by her than anything that we offered. So what does God want from you this Christmas, and what does it have to do with faith? Well, God loves you. And he desires to have you. Because of God's great love for you, he desires to have faith, you to have faith in his son, Jesus Christ, the perfect gift, prophesied for 700 years, finally came, the perfect gift. All we would ever need, whether it's at Christmas or any other day of the year. So many times we can get caught up thinking this life is so hard. And it is hard. I understand that. But God has so much more for you and for me. Every prophecy has been fulfilled except one. And that is the coming back of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We should be excited. That is the next thing that's happening. Whatever denomination you have grown up in, it's the same Lord, the same God that we serve. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The message is still the same. There is only one Savior, one Lord, one God the Father, one Holy Spirit. I had such an awesome, as I close, I'm thinking, my last confirmation class, which was fun because we kind of finished our stuff early. I was a taskmaster, and I was hard on the kids, and I said, you gotta be quiet. I'm talking, we're doing this, we're getting through, and all of a sudden we had a half hour left. Then I think, okay, Lord, now what do I do? So we started fielding questions, and kids were asking and raising their hands. And we had questions about the Trinity, and we had questions about the coming back, and the millennium, and all this stuff. And I thought, wow, God, you really put me to the task here. But what I love to see is the excitement in the kids' eyes. They had questions and they wanted to know. That's our job. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, we need to train up our children. It can't be left to just me or the church. It has to begin at home. And that is beautiful. I think of fathers, and the Bible says you are the spiritual leaders of your home. You need to take that seriously. You need to be a Micah man. You need to be the one that's ready to tell the truth. You might have to be the one that very bluntly comes up to the bully and says, this ain't happening in my house, not on my watch. My kids need to know the truth, and the truth is Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sin is still sin. God's word is always God's word, and that ain't ever changing. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for the gift of your word, Lord. We thank you for the Bible. Lord, a couple weeks ago, you know that I heard that we are being accused now of being people that worship the Bible because we look so seriously at it. Lord Jesus, my skin crawled when I heard that because I thought, Satan, you are such a liar. And you plant things into people's mind thinking that if we trust too much in your word, that's the wrong direction. That's not what you say, Lord. And so, Father, we look to you, the author and the perfecter of our faith. I think of George Mueller, who when he had a burden on his heart to pray for, he opened his Bible and he spent hours poring through scripture about how to pray for this person, one person, how to pray for them. And while he prayed, that Bible remained open because to him, that word was living and it was powerful. Father, help us to be people of the book, as you call it. Your love letter to us, God, why would we not want to follow that? Father, help us to get fired up. Help us to be Micah men and women. God, when we see people that are being told a lie, God, help us to be ready to speak the truth in love. Oh, you tell us in your word, Lord, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have, but always do it in love. God, we pray that you just guide us today. And we rejoice in a Savior coming to the world, for you loved us so much that you would send your only Son, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And we praise you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand and join us, and we'll close with our final song. Will it be on a slide, Sean? I should have asked that. I don't know what happened to my sermon notes. They were there a while ago. Mary's little boy child. Hey, it's looking good. Mary's little boy child. Key of which? A, sounds good. Okay. Father, we do thank you for today, and we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, we pray that you'd guide us, help us to walk by faith, not by sight, but to trust in him. We pray that you'd just give us wisdom and lead us in the days ahead. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.